searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
You didn't crawl out from under no rocks. You didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meter.
You tell him, Archie. Hi there, welcome to the Daily Perspective Podcast. It's the Friday edition for the 17th day of July, 2020. My mouth is already malfunctioning. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you are having a good one wherever and whenever you may be listening. Thank you so much for being there. I appreciate you coming along for the ride as we take the bus through Crazy Town. And I hope that you enjoy the trip. If you're not enjoying the trip, get off and go seek some comfort someplace, because honestly, I can't help you. All I can do is try to tell you the truth about things. It is a Friday edition of the podcast. I wasn't here yesterday, and I explained that the other day. I had an outside session, another Dawson Now session for 9 o'clock in the morning, which is when I wrap this one up usually. And that means I have to leave early. I also had to leave earlier than that because of other errands. Had to take the Shaggy one to the vet for her annual checkup. And she's doing well. A little sore from the shots, but she's doing fine. She's in good shape. And that was pretty much the day yesterday, except for stopping, you know, to pick things up, other errands that had to be done. And not much else to report. Interesting podcast yesterday with another podcaster, actually, which was a lot of fun. And hopefully I can share his podcast with you in the near future. I'm actually scanning back through things because I want to find something. The guy's name is Andrew McLean. He does a podcast and a radio show. It's called Across the Line. And it was an interesting chat with him yesterday. And he's another local. He's in the area, same area I am. And someday we'll have to get together and have lunch and compare war stories, because we have some things in common. He actually got his start. Andrew got his start at one of the last radio stations that Dave and I worked together with, the Mark and Mac Show. And so we share some things in common. We can probably share some funny stories about inside baseball stuff, if you get my drift. So that was yesterday. Also picked up some parts for another project I'm working on. And no, it's not a car thing. I've told you all about this car thing. Right now I'm in limbo with the car. I'm waiting on parts to arrive. The tracking has said, can I just say something to my friends at Amazon? Hey, Amazon, can you do everyone, I mean everyone, a favor? All of your customers, especially those of us who pay for Amazon Prime, we pay a premium every year for Amazon Prime so that we can get what we buy through you quickly, and that we can have assurances that we know when it will arrive and how it will arrive. That's what we're paying for with Amazon Prime. Now, if we wanted to get things, just whenever the heck they're going to arrive, we would shop in other places that use delivery services like the U.S. Postal Service and DHL. So please do us all a favor and make a requirement of those who sell through you that they must use UPS. Please, UPS or FedEx. Both of those places, those delivery services, you can accurately track packages. You can't accurately track packages 90% of the time with either the U.S. Postal Service or DHL. And I say that because I've had many experiences with both of these carriers. And most recently, it's DHL. I've had this experience with DHL in the past, where they provide you a tracking number and you can follow the tracking. It's actually kind of impressive. It's almost as good as FedEx, where you see, it left the seller at this point. It was in the hands of DHL at this point. You get date, time, location, you get everything. And then it gets to your city and poof, it disappears. It's gone. They can't accurately track where it is. It is just bizarre. And in this case, get this, DHL is handing the package off to
the United States Postal Service.
Yes. So DHL dumped my package into the black hole. I have no idea where it is. I can't trust the tracking from the Postal Service. They tell me it's out for delivery. DHL told me it was out for delivery on Wednesday. But no, it wasn't here Wednesday. And so I thought, okay, well, it was just one of those, it'll be here tomorrow. No, it wasn't here yesterday. It's supposed to be here today. I actually subscribed to the U.S. Postal Service's little information service, which gives you an accurate view of what you're getting in your mailbox that day, which I think is really amusing because you can see this, by the way, this is our item one in the absurdity section of today's podcast. I like to start off with something that's absurd and laughable. This is item number one. There's another one coming. This service that they provide for you that you can sign up for sends you an email every day and tells you what's going to be in your mailbox that day. And more often than not, there will be junk mail. You get the pictures of the front of all of the junk mail that comes to you, and you will get the pictures of the bills or whatever that comes to you. And sometimes you will actually get a little note about a package coming your way. But more often than not, you'll get a little notice that says, we have no idea, basically. We can't track certain things, so we can't tell you about them. So basically, you get informed this junk mail is coming to you, this bill is coming to you, but the stuff you're really looking forward to, your guess is as good as ours. Now, I got a note in this morning's informed delivery thing. I got a note saying that there is a package coming. It's a DHL package. So it's been handed off to the U.S. Postal Service. It's supposed to be in my mailbox today. And if that package comes, that means that this weekend I can put the engine of my car back together. But I'm not holding my breath. I'm just not. Because it was supposed to be here 2 days ago, and it's still not. Thank you, DHL, for tossing my package into the black hole. Oh, my gosh. Oh, such is life. Anyway, but that's where I am on the Miata project. It's just, we're not out there having our usual mental wellness exercises by just driving in the countryside and just saying, which is what we use the Miata for. It's just to get out there and just let it all roll off. And just enjoy the scenery and not worry about things anymore. It's my favorite way to travel in short distances, for sure. I sure wouldn't take it on a road trip, but wow, I tell you, it's great. It's a great stress reliever to get out there and run through the gears on twisty back roads and just enjoy the smell of the countryside. That's great stuff. Much better than airline flight. Which brings me to... it brings me to item number two. on my absurdity scale here. Oh, airline travel. I got to be the first to tell you, I drive by the airport on a semi-regular basis and get nostalgic for the times I could fly, because seeing airplanes going places means people are traveling. They're going places. It may be for business. It may be for family issues. It may be for sad times. But generally speaking, those people are going someplace that's going to be great. And that's what seeing airplanes in flight makes me think of. Good times. That's what it makes me think of. Well, bless their hearts, the folks at Spirit Airlines had a negative experience with some travelers who were unhappy travelers. Three women physically attacked employees at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. What sparked Tuesday night's free-for-all? which, by the way, was captured on video and has been plastered all over the interwebs. A delayed flight. Their flight was late. These three women went postal. Can I use that term? Going postal? These three women went nuts on the Spirit Airlines people at the gate, throwing things. Three employees suffered minor injuries when these would-be passengers became combative following a delayed flight. The three women hit airline employees with miscellaneous items such as phones, shoes, full water bottles, metal boarding signs. They even threw fast food. Oh, I hope it wasn't Chick-fil-A. That's what WPLG said. They were citing Broward County Sheriff's Office arrest reports. The melee... Why is it people who write this stuff use words you would not use in normal conversation? Why? The fight occurred outside the gate of a flight to Philadelphia in Terminal 4. WPLG says the victims were also punched and kicked in different sections of their bodies numerous times. The full video, which you can find, just search it. Just do a quick search. You'll see it. It's everywhere. It shows women throwing various objects at employees behind the airline counter, then charging at them, delivering punches and kicks. And later in the clip, an airline employee is seen limping as she escapes through a glass door as the women appear to come back for more. Well, these three women were arrested. They all hail from Philly. 20-year-old Tamaya Wright. That's right. Tamaya Wright. Was charged with battery and petty theft. She allegedly took a Sprint employee's phone. Dinesha Dixon, she's 22. 21-year-old Kira Ferguson, all charged with battery. The trio taken to jail and released on bond Wednesday morning. Now, the women have declined to share their side of the story. Probably until they've talked with their lawyers. The sheriff's office says its investigation is continuing. The women could face additional charges. Spirit Airlines released a statement, and here's what they had to say. We thank our team members for their professionalism and quick actions, and we also thank the Broward Sheriff's Office for their assistance at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport yesterday. Three guests became combative following a delayed flight, and they were arrested for physically assaulting our team members. Three of our team members sustained minor injuries. This violent behavior is completely unacceptable and has absolutely no place in airports or any other place of business. We will not tolerate abusive behavior of any kind. Further questions about this incident should be referred to law enforcement. In other words, they came, they saw, they got pissed off, and they beat our people up. If you want to talk to anybody about it, talk to the law. So, oh, man. And one, this is insulting to the average intelligent person, because violence is never the answer. It's just not the answer. But we keep seeing from a specific segment of our society the answer always being violence. We need to stop denying that and actually admit it, that violence is the answer for certain people in our society. This particular example of violence being the answer is also not only absurd, it's just stupid. This didn't happen at the end of a flight where the flight was delayed and people were hacked off because of conditions. These three girls did not sit on the tarmac for 4 hours in a hot, stuffy airplane. These three did not suffer going to terminal or airport after airport because of airplane mechanical issues or weather conditions and thus miss a family funeral or something like that. These three people were at their airport of origination. They were in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, on their way to Philadelphia. Their plane, the plane they were supposed to be boarded on and heading to Philly on, was delayed for some reason. It had never arrived. The people behind the counter weren't on the phone with the pilots saying, hey, let's take these three ladies off. you want to circle around again. This is not what happened. What happened was the flight was delayed. It happens every day in air travel. It's just part of the package. I said earlier, I love to travel. I'm flying on a plane. It may be uncomfortable. It may not be fun in some situations, but it's exciting because you're going someplace, doggone it. You're about to go on an adventure, a vacation, or whatever. These three ladies, they're hacked off at airline employees behind a counter at an airport with zero control over what's happening in the air or on the ground elsewhere. And they're pitching a fit, throwing everything they can get their hands on, punching people for something they can't control. And that is absurd and stupid. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast, the Friday edition, July 17th, 2020. Can I add one more item to the absurd before we move forward? Do you mind? It's the NFL. The NFL celebrated its 100th anniversary last year. It should be a time of self-congratulation for the brutal sport. And there's there's nothing outside the U.S. that compares to NFL football. Oh, Mark, rugby. No. NFL football has a lock on this. It really does. And you have to include the amount of money the NFL makes. NFL football makes tons and tons and tons. Did I mention it makes tons of money? It makes tons of money. Tons of money. I mean, America's national sporting event is the Super Bowl. People talk about baseball, the World Series, but it's the Super Bowl. Trust me, the amount of money that moves around this country because of the NFL Super Bowl is uncompared. It's just amazing. And right now, the NFL has been slowly recovering from the kneeling fiasco. And now they're just going to let them, whatever. It all started with Colin Kaepernick, who decided at some point to buy into the lies, the leftist lies of a college professor, and now has decided that the country, which has given him everything, including every penny of his wealth, is somehow evil. I would suggest he renounce this nation and surrender every bit of his wealth, including everything he's making from Nike and the other places, and go live elsewhere. But he won't do that. He will continue to live his lavish lifestyle. He will continue to benefit from everything he's condemning. And condemn everything that benefits him. He is probably one of, if not the biggest hypocrite on earth. And the NFL, rather than using him as an example of how not to succeed, because you have to keep in mind, when his talent started fading and he couldn't hack it anymore, he ended up getting sidelined, got benched, and replaced, and hadn't been able to find another gig because not only could he not perform, he carried a lot of baggage with him. A lot of drama. And business people, that's who runs the NFL, don't like drama. Don't bring your drama to work. It's not good for anybody, including you. Well, Kaepernick's drama has kept him unemployed for a while. But now, the NFL has decided, well, it's okay. In fact, if you want to put social justice statements on your jerseys and on your helmets, that's fine. This is the same organization that wouldn't let players put little stickers on their helmets or wear certain kinds of socks or stickers on their shoes and things to support fallen police officers. Remember that? But when it comes to social justice, that's okay. And that calls us to remember something. The NFL, this capitalist dream, the amount of money and everything it's accomplished, the people it's made rich, the NFL is, at its core, an entertainment business. It's using sports as entertainment, and it's making bank doing so. And it's about to find out just how bad their decisions can be. You see, people stopped watching during the kneeling fiasco. But now that they're doubling down and they're going social justice warrior on everyone, I have a feeling not many people at all will be watching. Their numbers will fall. Their revenue will fall. And true to progressive form, they will blame everything but their stupid decision. That's just my observation. Let's move forward. There's a lot of talk nowadays and a lot of activity in America about COVID-19. In place after place, we're being commanded to wear masks. Where I live in the state of Alabama, Governor Kay Ivey, Mamaw Ivey, she has just declared that everyone in the state must wear a mask when they're out in public. Everybody. On the flip side of the scale, the governor of Georgia has just said, no, we're not doing that. Interesting. Here in Alabama, Will Ainsworth is going up against the governor. I got a feeling he's going to be running for governor. He's saying, no, that's not the right decision. Well, let's take a look at something. There are other illnesses besides COVID-19, besides the coronavirus, which we don't even think about when it comes to relating to wearing a mask to protect ourselves or others. And here's one of them. Let me just run down some of the things, and I'll tell you which disease this is a little later. A total of 1.5 million people died from this disease in 2018. Including 251,000 people with HIV. So the disease is not HIV. So that takes that guess off the table. Worldwide, this disease is one of the top 10 causes of death and the leading cause from a single infectious agent. That is higher than HIV/AIDS. In 2018, an estimated 10 million people fell ill with this disease worldwide. 5.7 million men, 3.2 million women, 1.1 million children. There were cases in every country and all age groups. But this disease is curable and preventable. In 2018, 1.1 million children fell ill with this disease around the world. And there were 205,000 child deaths due to this disease, including children with HIV. Child and adolescent cases of this disease are often overlooked by health providers and can be difficult to diagnose and treat. In 2018, the 30 high burden countries for this disease accounted for 87% of new cases of this disease. 8 countries accounted for 2/3 of the total, with India leading the count, followed by China, Indonesia, the Philippines, Pakistan, Nigeria, Bangladesh, and South Africa. Multi-drug resistant strains of this disease remain a public threat, a public health crisis, and a health security threat. The World Health Organization estimates that there were 484,000 new cases with resistance to the drug, the most effective first-line drug for treatment. Globally, this disease incidence is falling at about 2% per year. And this needs to accelerate to about 4 to 5% annual decline to reach the milestone set for 2020. To end the threat of the disease. It's not going to happen. An estimated 58 million lives were saved through diagnosis of the disease and treatment between 2000 and 2018. And there are goals to end the epidemic of this disease by 2030. Now, when you hear all of those numbers, the numbers of people who have suffered from it, the numbers of people who have died from it, including children, you would think that it would be on the news every day and that we would be told we must wear masks, we must stay home, we must not go into public, we must protect everyone from the spread of this disease. Wouldn't you think? No, it's not the coronavirus. It's not influenza. It's not HIV/AIDS. It's tuberculosis. TB. Yeah. Tuberculosis is still around. It's still killing millions of people. And yet, no one is producing a worldwide panic over tuberculosis. And the numbers for TB are higher. This is one of the reasons I like to call this little thing the Daily Perspective. Because this is a little perspective on things. When you look at the facts, it becomes more obvious that the people who say they are here to help us are doing something besides helping us. They're certainly not telling us all the facts.
You're funny, all right. You're a scream. You ought to get a job on one of those excursion boats.
I can't get a job on an excursion boat. Motion sickness. It is the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along here. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host. Hoping you're having a great day. Thank you for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Whenever, wherever you may be listening, I appreciate it. Please share with your friends. It is a topic of discussion in America today that we should have mail-in ballots, that we should be able to vote by mail. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to drop this one. I just want to drop it right here and let you think about it. California threw out more than 100,000 ballots, returned mail-in ballots because of mistakes. There were 7 million in total, 100,000 of them tossed. 100,000 may not seem like a lot in the big picture, but when it comes to local elections, when it comes to state elections, 100,000 is a lot. It's a lot. It could turn the course of an election. Various reasons. Sent back late, in the wrong envelope, signature doesn't match. Various reasons. But still, mail-in balloting is fraught with problems. Now, what the Democrats are pushing is not the same as absentee ballots. The absentee ballot process is structured. It's had time. It's been working out its issues. In some places, they still don't have it right. But absentee balloting has had the benefit of time. And infrastructure being built to make it happen. What's being proposed and must happen right now for the sake of everyone being able to vote because of the scourge of COVID-19 has not been time-tested. There is no infrastructure built for it. The expense is going to be monumental. That's something nobody is talking about, is how much money it's going to cost in order to make this happen securely. Remember what I said as the first absurd item of the day about how Amazon uses the U.S. Postal Service to ship certain things, and as a result, poof, they disappear? Imagine the U.S. Postal Service handling your vote. We already have issues with just regular mail. Can you imagine something as important as deciding the presidency using the United States Postal Service? What about the processes on the other end? What about once they're received? What about those who take it upon themselves to be activists and decide when they see the outside of the envelope is marked to go either into the Democrat or the Republican pile, they decide the Republican votes don't need to be counted? Oh, Mark, that's ridiculous. Nope. Look it up. It's happened. Vote by mail is a serious problem. It is seriously not ready for prime time. If it were to ever happen, there is a lot more work that has to go into the infrastructure, the background, everything has to be built before it happens. We can't just say, oh, we're going to send them in by mail. There's a lot more to it, just for the security of the vote. Don't let anyone convince you it's the same as absentee voting, because it's not. Just remember, in California, 100,000 people, their votes didn't count for various reasons. Of course, the progressives will argue that that's why we need to change all of the rules about their voting as well, so that those votes would count. Really? Let's pick one of those examples. Signatures not matching. You want someone to be able to forge your mail-in vote and to try to get your signature right but not get it quite right, and that signature pass and your vote not be your vote? Is that what you want? Because that's what they'll ask for. Just a thought. Just something to consider. Over at Liberty University, they have gone lawsuit crazy. Yep, they filed a lawsuit against the New York Times. Good for them, I say, considering what we know about the New York Times. One of its reporters as well, and a photographer. They did this Wednesday, saying the newspaper intentionally misrepresented the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the Virginia College campus. The school said in a statement that the complaint, in the complaint, they said the newspaper, reporter Elizabeth Williamson and a photographer said the school suffered a COVID-19 outbreak when reopening after spring break. Nearly a dozen students got sick. The Times cited Dr. Thomas Epps Jr., who was described as the doctor who runs Liberty's health service. The lawsuit said Epps' job description was misrepresented, as well as the information he provided. The school disputes what Epps told the Times the students started getting sick after returning from spring break, or that nearly a dozen Liberty students had symptoms that suggested COVID-19. Williamson was told to contact another doctor, a Dr. Joanna Thomas, who the lawsuit described as directly responsible, but the reporter didn't make that contact, according to the lawsuit. Quote, by avoiding the direct source and only talking to Dr. Epps, they sought the plausible deniability of claiming he and they misunderstood each other when he inevitably denied, as he did, the story. Also, the school suggested The report was an attempt by the Times to bolster its bottom line. They say there was never an on-campus student diagnosed with COVID-19. The only actual viral element of this narrative that existed was the intense viral internet attention it generated for the New York Times website and for those paying to advertise on that website. That's according to the lawsuit. Liberty also says in the lawsuit that when the Times finally contacted the school, it was on the day the online story was published. It said the newspaper didn't even try to make a meaningful inquiry of Liberty itself. Liberty President Jerry Falwell Jr. said in a statement issued by the school, "We're holding the New York Times accountable for their malicious and false reporting and their violation of the measures we took to protect our students." No comment from the Times. This week has not been a good week for the New York Times. The editor of their op-ed page resigned with a scathing letter publicly on her website. Others have left. This person who left the Times has been just roasted in social media by the progressives. Because, you know, the typical response from progressives is to attack anyone who exposes them for what they are. And now Liberty University is suing them for lying about what happened at Liberty University. The New York Times has not been a reliable source for trustworthy information for quite some time. Actually, it's been quite a while that the New York Times has leaned left. Quite a while. I remember, when was it? This was early radio days for me. I was working afternoons somewhere, music radio, and it had to have been in the 80s, sometime in the 80s and late 80s. And I was reading and looking at examples of how the New York Times was twisting stories, slanting stories to the left, and not properly representing the facts. And it's been doing that for a long time. And now they've just abandoned all pretense, and they are a leftist newspaper, a progressive rag, which cannot be trusted to tell the truth. Because when your worldview doesn't allow for absolute truth, how can you tell the truth? And that's what's happening with the New York Times. It's a progressive operation today. And they condemn anyone who disagrees. I suggest you go look up what happened and how this person, And now I actually had a link to it and I was going to refer to it, but I've managed to flush it. So I encourage you, go look back in show notes from the other day. I think I included it in the other day. I did, in fact, include it in show notes from Wednesday. And you'll see the links of the stories and everything about what happened with the New York Times. It was one of those things that I didn't get time to get into the other day, but I wanted to include in the show notes as bonus information. So it's in the bonus information from show notes. Just go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com, click on show notes, and go back to, I believe it was Wednesday. If it wasn't Wednesday, it was Tuesday. And you'll see bonus content at the bottom, and there'll be two links. One is to the actual resignation letter, and the other is to someone's Twitter commentary on what happened on the inside. Both are important reading. I suggest you seek both of them out and inform yourself. And you'll get a better idea of what's happening on the inside at the New York Times. It's not about truth. As I said, when your ideology does not allow for absolute truth, it can't be about truth. It's not about just telling people the facts so they can know what's happening and make a decision. Because in the progressive universe, you can't allow that to happen. That would be critical thinking. And critical thinking is verboten. You can't do that. Because if you think for yourself, then the elite progressives can't think for you. And after all, you're too stupid to make right decisions anyway, remember? You voted for Donald Trump, and that's why we're in all the trouble we're in now. Never forget that. Because you were so stupid, we're in a lot of trouble. So you need us. I know that sounds oversimplistic, and it may even sound condescending, but it's the truth. And that's coming from someone who does believe in absolute truth. Welcome back. Let's jump into this final segment of today's Daily Perspective Podcast. Hey, the weekend is here. Isn't that exciting? I mean, since a lot of us, our lives are getting back to normal again, the weekends have meaning again. And I hope that you've got some time set aside just to unplug this weekend, turn off the news, and try to get back to normal. Hope you can. Make it a weekend, and don't ruin it by letting the idiots take you down. You remember that old saying, don't let the turkeys get you down? Don't let the turkeys get you down this weekend. Hey, the National Association of Police Organizations announced they've decided to endorse President Trump. And you've probably seen the news. This happened on Wednesday, but I wasn't here yesterday, so hello. These guys supported Obama before. Now they're supporting Trump and not Biden. And that says a lot. A lot. And it's because Biden and his radical left backers, the people who are actually pulling his puppet strings, are notorious progressives, and they hate the police. The police know this. So they're throwing their weight behind President Trump. And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. We're hoping for 4 more years. I hope you are, because honestly, things are getting better in America. And everything you're watching happen right now, all of the wrong, all of the terrible things, all of the crisis, all of this sensational stuff happening, it's all by design. It's to get people upset so the Democrats can say, do you really want 4 more years of this? Well, trust me, those of us with the brain who are paying attention understand that it's just going to get worse if Joe Biden wins. For example, AOC, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Here's an example of how they think. She wants New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to impose a tax on the billionaires that live in the state. She says they'd use that money to help people financially impacted by the coronavirus. Right. Sure it will. There are 118 billionaires who live in New York. Her legislation would tax them. They're worth an estimated $566.4 billion. The bill, it's proposed and sponsored by Jessica Ramos, a state senator from Queens, would tax the unrealized capital gains of the state's billionaires. That wealth tax would raise about $5.5 billion in revenue, which would go towards workers not eligible for unemployment benefits or federal relief measures. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. How does a billionaire become a billionaire? I wish I had the music here. I don't. But listen, a billionaire becomes a billionaire by making smart decisions when it comes to business. By understanding how money works. How you put money to work so that it grows. Not by throwing their money away at things that don't work. And we know from experience that when leftist politicians decide to tax the wealthy in order to help those who are not wealthy, it works once. Because after that, the wealthy move their money. That's why you've heard about people having offshore accounts and people moving their businesses from one state to another. That's happening a lot nowadays. Where people are moving out of New York and California to places with a little sanity. So what would happen if AOC gets this passed, and she probably won't, if AOC manages to push this through, the billionaires will be stuck for the first year. But once they have complied that first time, they will already be in motion to move everything somewhere else, to some state which is actually friendly to business and understands the benefit of having business in their state and not taxing them out the wazoo, because they need those businesses there for jobs. The employees pay taxes too, not only on their income, but on everything they spend money on. That tax money, that kind of matters. Without those employees, you start losing. And so what AOC is proposing is just one more massive hit to New York. She's already hit them hard one time, cost them thousands of jobs. And the people there remember that. Now she's proposing another clueless, tone-deaf move, which will do nothing but hurt the state. Bless her heart. More New York news. As violence is scouring America's inner cities, people are looking everywhere for answers. Some, obviously and stupidly, are calling for gun control, but they seem unable to comprehend that all the gun control they credited for reducing crime in places like New York haven't changed, so why would the new laws be any different? Others are trying different approaches, hoping to cut off violence before it can happen. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can't be the only approach. In the black community in New York, some are saying they want a return of the anti-crime unit. Leaders in the black community in New York City are calling on the New York City Police Department to deal with the recent crime surge there by reinstating the plainclothes anti-crime unit that the department recently dismantled as anti-police sentiment exploded in the wake of the death of George Floyd. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, a former cop, became the second member of the African-American community to call on the NYPD to stop the violence by reinstituting the anti-crime unit. Undercover cops, whose job was to get guns off the streets. That's what CBS News in New York is reporting. This is shootings for the week went up 277%. 49 shootings compared to 13 in the previous year. The number of victims is up 253%. 60 victims compared to just 17 in 2019. He says, I think that a total elimination is something we need to reevaluate. Right now, bad guys are saying if you don't see a blue and white, you can do whatever you want. And that's really the summation of everything. What's happening is that the left is saying we need to pull the police out of the area because it's causing problems. The police are causing problems. And the criminals are saying, hey, the police are not here. We can do whatever we want. And so life gets worse. There have to be consequences for your actions in order to change things. If there are no consequences, things don't change. If criminals don't fear consequences, they'll run rampant over everybody else. And this is what we're seeing happen right now. It started in Ferguson when the authorities in Ferguson said, no, we're going to back off with the police. The police are making the matters worse. And so the police stopped doing what the police should do, and things in Ferguson spiraled downwards. Now that's happening in New York and other progressive controlled cities across America. It's happening all across America in progressive controlled cities, where they are saying, we hear you. We think the police are a bad influence. We're going to change things. So the police will not be doing the following things anymore. And they list what the police will not do. And the criminals all say, hey, let's go get some. And they go crazy. Because they know odds are they won't get caught. And in New York City, if they get caught, they'll be back on the street in the morning. As happened during the so-called peaceful parade across a bridge in New York the other day, when some people went crazy and started beating up on cops. One of those who was arrested was held. The others were put back on the streets. If there's no consequence, there's no change. If you let the prisoners out of jail, you let the hardened criminals out of prison, they're going to go back to doing what they know to do. And if the police presence is reduced, they're not going to be afraid to do it, because there won't be any consequences for their actions. And what do progressives do? They deny the correlation. No, you just don't understand. Your brain's not big enough to comprehend what we're doing here. Trust us, we are the intellectual elite. And besides, we care more than you do, so we're morally superior to you. So stop trying to figure this out. Don't give yourself a headache by thinking about it. Just trust us. I think not. And I think that's all for today and this week. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you being there. Make sure you join me again on Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, and have a great weekend. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?